Hey there, welcome back to Reality TV. It was Super Bowl weekend, and that means all of us got the shaft. No reality TV, no 90 Day Fiancé, and Life After Lockup, forget it, because that show sucks. I'm still watching it because I'm the real sucker, I'm the asshole. But for most of the couples, I fast forward through. And if you're interested in what's going on, I'm going to give you as brief of a recap as possible because I do want to go back to the Super Bowl. But first, let's get the updates that we need. Lindsay of Lindsay and Scott is back in jail. No surprise. Destiny has for sure scammed what's-his-face, the one with the ex-wife and 12 kids. Who cares? And remember John and Christiana, who took off as our Bonnie and Clyde? She went back to prison or jail, and he was housing her mom and her sister. Well, he's back. Okay, so his sister-in-law, Christiana's blonde sister, those two have been hooking up. They claim they haven't been having sex, but does John look like the kind of guy who's going to turn it down? No. And there's a whole issue with that. How the hell does that guy get any woman to sleep with him? But they are. They're hooking up in his gross, dank basement. But now there's a wrench in the plan because Bonnie is being released, which means her Clyde is going to get the shit beat out of him. He's been cheating on his brand new wife with his sister-in-law. Disgusting. So that's where we are. But like I said, I want to go back to the Super Bowl. My enjoyment of football varies season to season, depending on what's going on with my kids and whether I'm into the teams that are playing or if there's anyone really cute or any controversy going on. I know it's super superficial, but it is what it is. So I watched the Super Bowl mainly because I like the finger foods and I like the party foods, even though it's just Dave and I and the kids. My kids are so picky, they barely eat anything. So I made some bacon-wrapped jalapenos inspired by last week's episode on Unexpected. The halftime show was fine. The weekend did great. The huge guys in the field were really a feast on my eyes. But the real reason I loved this year's Super Bowl was because they kept saying and showing the name of the stadium, the Raymond James Stadium. And when I tell you the memories came flooding back, it seems like only yesterday one of my favorite reality shows, actually probably my all-time favorite reality show that was ever aired on Bravo, centered around the Raymond James Stadium. This show has been forgotten and wiped from the internet. You can find clips, but you can't find the episodes. And it's called Showbiz Moms and Dads. A preteen heartthrob named Shane Klingensmith and his mom Debbie stole the frickin' show. All season long, you see this mom, Debbie, crowing about her pre-Bieber son, by the way. I don't think Bieber was even conceived at this point. And she keeps talking about her son hitting the main stage at the Raymond James Stadium. She had tryouts. She had rehearsals for 8 to 12-year-old girls for backup dancers. And she was a real bitch about it. And then the day came. Shane Klingensmith, sex object for the demographic of no one, was at the very same Raymond James Stadium, or at least adjacent to it. This poor kid was talked up to be the weekend, basically. Like, he's going to be performing in center stage Raymond James Stadium. But no, he was in the center of a petting zoo, basically, on barely a stage. I'll tell you what, that would have shown The Weeknd how a real entertainer can pull off and carry an entire show. And you know I'm a deep diver, so of course I looked up where Shane is these days. I'm not ashamed of it. I may have liked a tweet where he said he likes when people recognize his name and they call out the show. And I was the only one who liked it and I retweeted it and I have no problem with it because Shane Klingensmith is a star. And to prove my point, he's very into and very active in the Final Fantasy gaming convention community and he does still sing in Vegas on a gondola as he steers it. And yes, his mother, Debbie, came to see him and they took a picture and it made me very excited because that's like finding a gem, a hidden treasure in my very own internet backyard. And for the record, Debbie is really the true Debs OG because she has not aged a day, which proves how rough parenting a tween can really be. I'm telling you guys, look into Showbiz Moms and Dads. If you can't find clips or you have no idea what I'm talking about, just dig further. You won't find the episodes, but you will find little snippets. There was a dad named Duncan Nutter, and he had, I want to say, 6 or 8 kids. He was married to this lovely woman who was paying all the bills as a public school teacher in New York City, and they were in a 1-bedroom apartment. And he wanted to be an actor, and he wanted all of his kids to be actors and models. Whoa, we got to find an update on that clan, I'm telling you. Now, looking ahead, I don't know what I'm going to do, guys, because I'm sure we have at least 3 to 4 weeks of 90 Day Fiancé left. Married at First Sight just started, but a new season of Sister Wives is debuting this Sunday on the 14th. I don't know how I'm going to juggle all these shows because that's 5 hours of shows and recapping. But Sister Wives is a must because Mary, hello, and everyone's openly hating each other this season. And 90 Day Fiancé is really good. Married at First Sight is really good this season. So I don't know if I'm going to end up rotating shows every week. I'm not sure, but I'm definitely watching everything. Who knows? Maybe I will just sing recaps on a boat like Shane at the Raymond James Stadium. All right, coming up this week on We Love to Hate TV, Amanda and I are starting a new season of Marriage Bootcamp. It's the one with Farrah Abraham and her parents, Kendra Wilkinson and her mom, and the situation and his brothers. We are also recapping all 3 parts of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and on Total Request Podcast, we're covering apparently an iconic show, we've been told, or an iconic episode of Intervention Season 1 or 2, I believe, and the woman's name is Christy. Amanda has requested that I watch and recap Arrested Development Season 1 finale, Let 'Em Eat Cake. So check the show notes for those links and sign up for Patreon if you're interested. But first, amazing news from one of my favorite besties in the podcast world, Melissa from Moms and Murder.
Hey guys, Melissa from Moms and Murder here, inviting you to check out my new show, Criminality, where I'll be taking a look at crime and reality TV with my co-host, Rebecca Sebastian.
Hi friends, I'm Rebecca, host of Dialogue, a true crime conversation.
Face it, we all love to hate reality TV because what's better than escaping your dumpster fire of a life than watching someone else's? Join us as we discuss everything from a teen mom with feathers in her hair to a 90 Day Fiancé who enjoys a box of matches, and we may just call Nancy Joe while wearing our best pair of little brown BB shoes that only cost $29.
And we can't forget the true crimes of the Real Housewives. Guys, they all have mugshots. That's where I'll be lending my expertise. We'll break it all down for you every other Friday, beginning February 12th, 2021.
So go to criminalityshow.com and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. Criminality, because loving reality isn't a crime.
All right, Married at First Sight. I'm going to talk a little bit about last week's episode, episode 3, and of course, this most recent one. There's so much to talk about. And I guess I'll just jump in. Let's talk about Chris and Paige. So they've gotten married. He's talking nonstop about his ex. Huge red flags all over the place. And also zero self-awareness. Now, I already knew I was going to love Paige. But when Chris said, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm about to buy my very first home next week. So, and Paige was like, cool. I already own one and I'm actually renting it out. So I'm already turning a profit on it. I freaking loved it. And the fact that she's an accountant, you know, in the back of Chris's mind, he's like, fuck, she's going to be able to see through my bullshit career and know things aren't adding up. And that's just not in his bank account only. So Paige talks with him for a little bit, red flags all over the place. But of course, he doesn't pick up on it or he doesn't care because he just keeps going on with his bullshit. Paige sees her friends and is immediately worried, as she should be, as we all are, because she didn't feel a connection. He's talking about his ex nonstop and his vows. She said his vows were almost too good, that he didn't look up once when he was reading them, so they didn't seem sincere. He wasn't looking in her eyes, And he had time to write out whatever it is that he wanted. He didn't have time to prep for the conversation and to answer the questions that she was very open and honest about asking, for example, about his ex and what his job is. Now, Chris's dad, let's talk about this gentleman for a bit here. He grossed me out. He creeped me out almost immediately because he starts telling Paige, his very recent daughter-in-law, who he's never met, how often she is to have sex with her husband, his son. I have seen some blurred family boundaries, but this is a first at the wedding, mind you. Now, this is very contradictory, is that the word, or ironic, that later Chris has an issue with what Paige is talking about to his dad and to his family. It's fine for his dad to, but not his new wife. Put a pin in that, right? Okay, now Paige asks Chris what brought him to Atlanta, and he goes on his Chris for Entrepreneur of the Year speech. He could have a bingo card that he could put out. Actually, that's a very good suggestion for Mr. Entrepreneur. Make a bingo card with homeless in South Florida, number one young entrepreneur in, where are they, Atlanta box. Then put another one for earn my first paycheck and it had six zeros after it. Then the hottest guy he's ever seen looking back at him in the mirror. This guy sucks. I hate him so much. Now let's talk about this engagement that Chris explains to us. He was in this relationship engaged less than 6 months ago. The reason they broke up was because they had no trust, red flag. He needed more companionship, another one. And his ego used to be bad, but now he's reflected and he's prayed about it and his ego is totally gone away. Right. And then his first question for his wife, are you a virgin? Are you affectionate? Do you have a high sex drive? In no scenario do I think it's okay for anyone to be asking a woman these questions the first time they meet her, let alone in front of a camera crew and her family on her wedding day. Not cool. He could have asked her this later that night when the cameras were not around. The reason I'm bringing that up, obviously, is because he has a huge issue with Paige going into his sex life and his sex drive later. But it's okay if he asks her that while they're eating dinner at the reception. Well, Chris also tells us that he fasted for 3 days, meaning he didn't masturbate, and asks her if she's on birth control. The nerve. How Paige didn't get up, immediately call Dr. Pepper or even Pastor Cal and say, how the hell did you get this guy even past first phase of the show? That someone would come in and ask those kinds of questions to a stranger during their wedding, during the reception, it's unbelievable. We've seen quite a few assholes on this show and some wackadoos, but Chris is really bringing things to a whole new level here. Now, Paige's friends do talk to Chris, and they weren't that impressed by him. I think they try to give him the benefit of the doubt, mainly because the cameras were there. They don't want to come across like a Trishelle or that other annoying chick last year with Henry, where immediately you're the cynical friend because you're going to get edited and it's going to go down real dirty. So I think they were trying to play it cool and seem nice, but they definitely did not like the guy. Now, is Chris going to see anything wrong with what he's saying or what he's doing or how he's feeling? Absolutely not, because he's a narcissist and he lacks all levels or varieties of empathy. He keeps saying, Paige is the girl I need, but not necessarily the girl I want. He even tells this to her face later, which is bananas, and that he's not 100% attracted to her. I mean, she's beautiful, but just beautiful in her own way. Oh, you mean just like how Chris is ugly in his own chromosomal abnormality face? His forehead and his eyes looks like he is the third homo sapien in on that evolution of man thing. He's not attractive at all. I'm barely average. Unless you guys are seeing something that I don't see, I definitely do not think he would be in the top two or three of attractive guys this season. Now, he likes and appreciates Paige's fat ass, but I think that's mostly because all the other guys there, his groomsmen and his dad, were commenting on her ass. So it made him feel good to be like, oh yeah, I have something you guys don't have. Something else that he might have that no one else has ever had on this show is a honeymoon baby. No one put this idea in Chris's head. Chris was the one who kept bringing up this pullout game is strong, but he also wants to have a honeymoon baby because the Lord might bless him with that. The Lord doesn't like you that much, Chris, as if he did, he would have blessed you with a face that wasn't ugly and a personality that matched. Now let's jump to the honeymoon suite. You know, Chris is milling over whether he's going to bless Paige with his dick or not, whether he's going to decide to have sex with her or not. Such a tough one. But in the meantime, he's going to need some help unbuttoning his shirt because he said his chest is huge. Well, the Lord definitely didn't bless him with good eyesight either because his chest was average at best and his nipples were outrageous. Okay, shall we jump to day one? Because we're not even 24 hours in and Chris is already MIA. They haven't even had breakfast and the guy's nowhere to be seen. So after an hour, he comes back upstairs where Paige has been in tears. You can tell she's been sweating and in tears. And he comes in pouting like a child. And why? Where was he? Well, Chris had a panic attack, allegedly. Because he's overwhelmed? No. Because he's in over his head, the cameras, maybe something about his ex? No, you guys. It's because Chris, poor little Chris, isn't attracted to Paige. It must be so tough for him. I mean, to have sex with Paige multiple times last night when he didn't think she was up to his standards? This is rough. He deserves to just have some downtime, right? Oh my God. There really are few times when I am speechless, but here I am. This guy's just heartless. That's what it is. The fact that he had the guts to sit down in front of Paige, who has been in tears, and the guts for Paige to sit down with his family during that lunch, she deserves a wonderful edit this season at the very least. I wouldn't even sit down with my husband's family, my in-laws, who I've been in-lawed to for over 15 years, if my husband had said even a fraction of the insult that Chris said. I absolutely could not do that. As far as his family goes, they were fine at the table. Again, I think his dad has an awful lot to say an awful lot of the time. But I don't buy their Chris was wrong, but he really didn't mean it. No, His mom jumped to that. But did he have a drink? Was he drinking? Well, that's why he said that. She jumped to that awfully quickly. She's one of those women that thinks their little boy can do no wrong. Now we know why Chris is the asshole that he is with the large brow bone deformation, because that's his karma. His mom let him get away with being an asshole his whole life, and she's doing it now too. Even though she's nodding along, she's really not saying much. And the only reason, I'm jumping ahead here, sorry. The only reason Chris was upset about Paige telling all to his parents and his grandma or aunt, whoever that third person was because he got called out and he was wrong. No doubt about it, on anyone's accord except his mom's, he was an asshole. I agree with him that no one wants their parents to know about their sex life, but guess what, you fool? You went on a TV show, and you and your dad and all your groomsmen were joking and commenting on her juicy ass last night. So take a seat, big brow Monsignor. Now that my sex life is my business talking to that he gave Paige as if she were a child and he was reprimanding her. Okay, that's an excuse, the my sex life, my business. We can call that out. I just talked about those previous two episodes where Chris was talking about his sex life nonstop. Remember when he went to go see his pastor and he was saying that he was going to not masturbate? He said that during his own reception. But now it's, you disrespected me as your husband. You know, there's a pact between man and wife. Okay, so Paige is supposed to feel like shit in silence because someone checked your ego, Chris? Now, before we go too far, Chris does come around to barely apologizing how that happened or how Paige accepted the apology. I have no idea, but I bet there's something in Chris's motivation for doing so that has a dollar sign in front of it, that he's not going to keep getting paid for this season if he's not in the episodes. So he's not going to duck out now. All he talks about is money and how he earns paychecks and he's succeeding and he's living this dope baller life. So no way in hell is he going to quit now. No, no, no. He's going to pretend to be the nice guy until he gets his ego checked a little bit and then his real personality is going to come out again for sure. Okay, I'll talk about their little brief segment of their honeymoon a little bit later. Let's talk about, Haley and Jacob, another guy I can't stand. Old man Gronkowski is like watching paint dry. He said he's attracted to women with big noses a couple weeks ago, and that just threw me off. As someone with a large nose, I would look at a guy sideways over my huge hump nose. Why you'd be into this? No one wants this to happen. I talk almost weekly to someone, either a friend or my kids, begging them to trip and fall into me so my insurance will cover a nose job. But this guy likes it. Weird. Now, Haley looked beautiful on her wedding day. I think she might need a little more highlights or something, a little more dimension. Her hair was a little mousy, but I love her, especially by the end of this most recent episode. Now, Jake doesn't seem too impressed when he first sees her, but I think what we eventually find out is that Jake Gronk has no personality. Zero. None. There's nothing under the surface. What you see is what you get with him, and it's a pool with some sand in a 70s-style house that's on his flip phone. This guy sucks, and I feel so bad for this girl. He's just weird to me. He never wants to touch her, even though he says he's attracted. Even during their first dance, his sleeves were pulled down over his hands, the way that, you know, all girls do when they want to feel little, you know, next to the linemen on the football field. Like, I'm so little. Oh, I'm so scared. I'm so cold. He puts it over his hands and then puts his hands on her back and her hip like he's not allowed to touch her. Now, then they go to their honeymoon suite. I'm getting grossed out even thinking about this. Maybe it's just because I'm not a huge fan of shirtless guys. I know I'm a weirdo. But he takes off his shirt. No undershirts, of course. That's another one of my favorite things. And he slips into bed shirtless. And he's got hair all over the place. Would he kill him to put on one of his graphic tees here? To even assume a stranger would be the slightest bit okay with seeing your chest pubes all over your back and your chest is a bold, bold move. And I hated this for Haley because now she's got to sleep next to that. Ew. And then he starts talking about his diet and his workout schedule, laying it all out there, meat and eggs at every single meal. Steer clear on leg day because Gronk is going to be ripping some sulfuric ass every time he goes down for a squat. February is all about love and flowers and chocolate. Or it's cold and there's no holiday break in sight and you're overwhelmed. And you need to go shovel. Can you hear my snowblower in the back? That's when I always reach for my Feel CBD. It's my go-to anxiety reliever and it has been for about a year now. Now, I have friends who use CBD to help them sleep or for pain, but I find Feels to curve off the edges of my stress when there's a lot on my plate. Truly, it helps me focus on what I'm doing without getting distracted or overwhelmed by it. Now, if you're new to CBD like I was, it can be complicated and super confusing. You know, what's with the gummies I see, the lotion, even drinks now. But Feels offers a CBD hotline, which I've used twice because I didn't know where to begin. Feels is a full-spectrum CBD tincture, which delivers it in the safest and most effective way. None of that nasty stuff you get from vaping or smoking. And if you need help finding the right dose for you, Feels will guide you through their products. Or you can order a flight of their different strengths for only $20. Plus, become a member for free and get 50% off your first order and keep getting a discount for being a member. It's a win-win. Now, if you know CBD is right for you already, all you have to do is pick your strength and have their all-organic CBD grown by our very own farmers in Colorado and Oregon shipped directly to your doorstep in only a few days. And get 50% off your first order by becoming a member. Feels is the new, natural, healthy, better way to feel better. Become a member today by going to feels.com/realityTV and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feels, feals.com/realityTV to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. That's feels.com/realityTV. Now we need to know about his health history when he's talking with his in-laws. God help me. This one time, my brother, we were younger, and he hit me, and my glasses stabbed my ear, so it fills up with water, so I can't do that. But did you see my backyard? I have a pool, and there's sand. And this t-shirt says, "Work hard, nobody cares." Isn't that funny? Yeah, maybe he could have worked harder on wearing a more appropriate shirt for a meal with his new in-laws. And you know what nobody cares about? Your freaking gut biomes or the little worms or bioorganisms that you're working on eliminating. And don't use the word eliminate or elimination diet when you're with a woman, because all she's going to think about is your huge freaking protein shit. God, poor Haley. She seems so lovely, but she's living in the same hell we are watching this guy. It's a slow-moving, humorless, library voice hell. He just talks like this, and even when he's laughing, it's just still this tone. And you can see where he got it. His parents were exactly the same way. Haley's just suffering in silence, almost like the Duncan Nutter wife. And we're all along on this graphic tea ride with her. Ugh. I hate that this guy likes quirky shirts because he's ruining it for the rest of us. I love a graphic tee. I like funny ones like that. Not every day. Not bringing them on a show when you can tell that he's never worn them before, but he's decided a pool in my backyard with some sand and quirky shirts are my personality. You gotta be able to back it up with something, Gronk. Oh God, sorry, I shouldn't say back up because then he might be constipated with his elimination and his biome problem. All right, let's talk about Clara and Ryan. I'm really torn. I thought she was kind of annoying at first, but she's growing on me. And I don't know if it's because I don't like Ryan for some reason. I'm going to jump to them in their honeymoon suite or that first night after the reception. She comes out of the bathroom and says she feels 10 pounds lighter. She's like, whoa. And I wanted to run in there, cover up her mouth, and tell her to do a do-over because you don't walk into a room after you've been in a bathroom for 25 minutes saying you feel 10 pounds lighter because no man is going to know, oh, that's bobby pins because she took her hair down. He's going to think that she just took a massive shit. Now, of course, this always brings back the question I have, not to get too off topic, but what do these couples do? How do they go to the bathroom? How do they toot? I'd be floating away by the end of the honeymoon for sure, or I'd be in septic shock from holding in my shit for 2 weeks or 3 months, however long this show is. I couldn't do that. You think these people are just going into this experiment, fully committing like a married couple and just blowing up the bathroom the first night? The only one of the women I could see doing that is Virginia because she's wasted most of the time. She doesn't have a clear head on her shoulders to know what's going on. I wonder about that because I don't think most of the guys really give a shit if they go in and take a shit. They're like, oh, I'm a man. We have big poos. It's like a prideful thing. But I wonder if the ladies just go use the public restroom downstairs at the hotel. But then what do they do when they move in together? Okay, let's get back on topic here because that's going to be a question that I don't think we'll ever get answers to. Okay, so as for Ryan, there's no specific reason why I don't like him or why I think it's going to go sour for these two. He just seems a little too cocky for his own good. Not as bad as Chris, but I think Ryan for sure thinks that he is quite the catch. I think he would be much cuter if he had his ears pinned back when he was younger or even a different haircut because a lot of people have ears that stick out. I have a huge nose that sticks out. I kind of have a horsey face. Own what you have, but maybe not try to accentuate that. The hair for me is, it's real bad. He did have some throwback photos the other week where it looked better, where his ears weren't just like, bam, right there. I know, I'm an asshole. He's a good-looking guy. I just think he thinks he's way better looking than he actually is, which seems to be a little bit of a pattern here in this season. All right, now let's talk about Virginia, might as well. Virginia's makeup, it's been, 3 weeks of watching that purple rain down her face, and I'm not even close to over it. You have to question someone's entire personality and perception of reality when they choose to look that way on their wedding day. And it's not a great start for Virginia. First, we had that bachelorette party where she's barfing, and now we haven't seen her without a drink in her hand for at least the last 3 days, 3 full days. And Eric is just so anxious and innocent and ready to get laid that he's not seeing the red flags or the red wandy things, you know, airplane humor. No, I don't really care about their family lunches because they're fine. I think Eric is a great guy. I think her family is thrilled that he seems to have a calming effect, that he might bring her down a little bit. His family likes Virginia. She's a nice girl, but they see she's maybe not quite ready to settle down, to be grounded. Airline humor. You know, it's going to be a battle of her wanting to be party girl, going for the mini bar, and Eric figuring out, is this just a novelty, having this young, free spirit, or is it something that he can live with? We'll get to their honeymoon, but first I want to talk about Brianna and Vincent. I don't have much to say because they're just adorable. These two in particular have a genuineness, a comfort level with each other that I don't see in the other couples. They kind of remind me of Woody and Imani. And that's a good thing because they were an adorable couple. They fell in love. They're still together. But much like watching Woody and Imani, they can be boring because they're normal and they're cute in a good way. And I was skeptical of Vincent during that first week, but I get the feeling he's a pretty good guy. I hope he doesn't let me down. And if the previews hit my eyes correctly and he goes to push Chris out of the way when Chris tries to beat up or swing at, what's his name again? Eric. I'm going to really love Vincent. Now let's jump to the honeymoon here. Get ready. It's super sexy, super exotic. Las Vegas. I mean, I get it. It's 2020, so they're all having to stay here. Nothing wrong with Vegas, but it's not the beautiful beachfront location we're used to. Now, almost immediately, Vincent gets bad news that his grandma had a heart attack. He talks with Brianna, my favorite, that he needs to go home and he needs to fly home, but he feels badly. And if he ends up going home, I just hope they give Brianna, our favorite, I'm making her your favorite now too, I hope they give her a second honeymoon, one that she deserves. Don't you think she could be a Disney princess? Just as a voice actress, just the way she laughs, that mellow tone and that sweet voice. I love that she's super smart too. Classy lady, as my mom would say. Now, Chris, he kicks things off with a hilarious joke at the reception desk. Get ready for it. She's paying. Yeah, I bet they never heard that one. You know, maybe use that line on a restaurant server. That'll be a real knee slapper for them. 10 out of 10 for originality, early man. Now, Haley is still smiling through all the boredom, suffering in silence. Fortunately, Gronk packed a couple non-graphic tees for sleeping. Interesting choice. I'd much rather see him walk around in a white undershirt all day than that stupid my first knife fight, whatever, dumb. At least we know Haley isn't having to go to bed worrying about getting his frickin' chest pubes in her teeth like dental floss. Ugh. Now, Eric and Virginia are starting to do this little dance where they're pretending. They don't know they're pretending, but they are. They're pretending everything is perfect, that they're so compatible, everything's great, as Virginia beelines to the bar. Now, I would be doing the exact same thing because, hello, free booze. There's probably some good mixed nuts back there, maybe some chocolate. So I'd be all into it. But she's got to start making some better choices, not only because she is now married, but she's on TV. She's got to know that there's going to be a rough edit here. You know, you could take the girl out of Atlanta, but you're not going to be able to bring her back from Vegas because she's going at it a little too hard. Now, in the previews for the next episode or the next couple episodes, a lot happens. First of all, Vincent is back, so maybe I missed something and he didn't fly back to Atlanta. Not sure. But we see that Chris is going to drop a bomb on Paige. And there's way too many options as to how he could destroy her life. So I don't want to speculate, but I'm just going to guess maybe an ex is pregnant because I thought they were going to say Paige is pregnant, or maybe she is. We're all going to have to stay tuned here. It's going to be a great season. So I'm excited to keep watching it. Like I said, I don't know how I'm going to fit in recaps for 90 Day, Married at First Sight, and Sister Wives, but I'll make something work somehow. Now get ready for this week's Would You Rather, which of course is Married at First Sight themed. Would you rather be stuck on a honeymoon with a shirtless Gronk or Jake, or try to wrestle a bottle of champagne and an eyeshadow palette away from Virginia? This may be a surprise or an unpopular opinion, but I'd rather go with Gronk here. I mean, he's boring as hell and he's clueless, but I think I could distract him with the Bible that's in the bedside table or a remote control manual. Maybe I ask him to figure out the ins and outs of the thermostat. But Virginia, I think she could be scrappy. I don't think she's going to give up easily. And I bruise easily now that I'm getting older. So she's going to leave me looking pretty beat up. So I'm going to go with Gronk. I'm going to let his shirtless self walk around and talk to himself in the mirror, or maybe just make a picture of various shades of beige. Sounds like something he would like to do. Now, if you are looking for more to do yourself, make sure you check out Patreon this week. Again, on We Love to Hate TV, Amanda and I are going to be recapping Real Housewives of Salt Lake City and starting a new season of Marriage Bootcamp. On Total Request Podcast, we are recapping that episode of Intervention with Christy, and we are going to be recapping the last episode of season one of Arrested Development. That's it for me this week. I hope you guys have a wonderful week and Valentine's Day. Head to iTunes and leave a 5-star review if you could, if you love the show. If you don't want to write anything, no worries. Just click those little 5 stars and I would greatly appreciate it. Stay warm out there. Stay safe. I know there's lots of winter storms heading to many of us. And take care of yourself and the people you love. Wear a damn mask, please. And stay salty.